interesting here. This is in Matthew chapter 1, referring to Herod the king. And then later on, only as Herod and not Herod the king. I think in this chapter as well, Herod the king, and then only Herod thereafter.
I was also thinking there's a very intentional thing here. It is to do them. That's the enemy is set on that. It's very intentional that if he can break down the assembly, if he can harm the people of God, who is he harming? His idea is to harm Christ. Okay? Christ and the assembly. If you impact the assembly, you're going to pull Christ down. And definitely God is not going to stand to see his Christ in this place that the enemy wants to have opportunity to ridicule the people of God and to ridicule Christ.
I guess we could say we're reminding ourselves that whether we are looking at the conditions under which Hannah lived, Jehoshaphat as king, or Peter in his day, us today, that we are in a spiritual warfare.
Enemy's land.
And that as young people, the tendency might be, like Jehoshaphat, when there was that deliverance, that Jehoshaphat let his guard down. And he fell right back into the same problem that he had earlier. And as those who are part of the assembly of God, that we can for a moment think that it's halftime. That there's an opportunity for us to lay down our tools of battle, you know, that those spiritual elements that we have in the epistles, the armor of God, and that we can be relaxed because the enemy constantly is at our foot, on our heels, seeking to throw us off. I think the encouraging line here in verse 5 for me is that this thought of prayer being made without ceasing. I think the tendency for us, as we've been saying these few days, is that there's a particular crisis that comes up in our life, that comes up in the assembly life, locally where we are, and we pray about it. And there might be the victory immediately over that, or it may take a longer time than what we expect, and we pull up, we cease praying about that particular thing. Well, you know, the Lord knows, or we get tired, we get worn down because the answer may not have come as quickly as we anticipated. But here, because Peter was in prison, it says, prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. We've been saying that prayer should be specific as well. So that as young men, we learn that while there may be many that are sick and laid aside and they need to be prayed for as well, our prayers should have a target so that our prayers ascend to God as the voice of one saying, here's Peter. It's the intention of Herod to hurt the church of God. And we're going to pray that you would intervene on his behalf.
I wonder if we can't apply what we didn't take in Elijah from the book of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, to that verse 5, in without ceasing, that ceasing being the fervent prayer, that unceasing prayer, and to tie in with this morning of the church, the united prayer of in Jehoshaphat's day, where the men, the women, and the children were all joined together in prayer, united prayer, and so we have assembly prayer. And it's interesting to me that this damsel Rhoda was here at this particular prayer meeting.
That's right.
Right? To tie that in, that they're the young people. The young ones, they were there at the prayer meeting. It was a united, fervent effort on behalf of the local assembly there for prayer for this particular case that was before them on Peter's behalf.
you remember this morning when it was God's earthly people, that there was the appeal to the one who had power and might. That was what was needed. It's what's missing in the world today. Men have authority. There's authority in Pakistan. They don't have the power. They don't have the power to be able to carry out the aims or the whatever the authority they possess would want to put into effect. There's power and might in this one. The sphere has changed in the sense that we've gone from an earthly people here to a heavenly people. Still upon the earth, there's still power and might to meet and defeat that enemy. The verse that we read again, that Tony emphasized, Peter therefore was kept. The verse before tells us the intentions of the enemy. What he planned to do. What he was going. It was set in his mind to do. But prayer was made. I take from that, that the only way the intentions of the enemy can be met and that he can be defeated is going to be through prayer on behalf of the people of God. I don't know. Do you all know another way? I don't know another way. I don't know, and this is what we sang in that hymn, I don't know another way that the forces of hell will be defeated by those in this room other than prayer. That's the avenue God has given us. And so, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping. My, did he know what was going to happen the next day? Yes, he did. But Peter knew something of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And on the eve of his intended execution, he's having a little nap, chained to two soldiers, bound with two chains. And there's a door here. And in front of the door, there's the keeper. There's somebody that's been put in charge. And you would look at that situation, and I would look and say, listen, this is impossible. Well, it depends on who we belong to. Now, this is the lesson we would learn, isn't it? It is impossible with man. What could we do with such a thing? I know you've got James Bond, he's old, the new movies today where people do all these spectacular things, but in the real world that we live in, you know, only the Lord can intervene in a case like this. And he wants to show us that he is able and that he is willing to do so, doesn't he?
So do we need to take a look, too, at the forces of evil in terms of how formidable they are? Because this is a very strong force that the people of God go up against. Not that we need to look at them as being scared of them, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. But I think we need to understand that it's a formidable enemy that we have here. We're not going to take him lightly. I think we need to understand that. We can't afford to take him lightly. We can't ever think that, you know, oh, he's a pushover. I can do him out in a very quick moment. No, we have to realize that it's a force here. Look at the kind of thing that happened here. It says he was put between four quaternions of soldiers. And I think that's about 16, if I'm not mistaken. Right? And then there are the two others, two soldiers sleeping between two and bound with two chains. So there is a large force that is up against Peter here. But you're pointing out the disposition of Peter, that in the midst of this large force, he's there sleeping comfortably, resting on what the God, his God, is able to do.
Amen.
So I think we need to bear in mind how formidable are the forces of evil set against us. And you can think of that, just to add this, in terms of Ephesians 6, when you think of in the heavenly places, what is arrayed there against us so that we're not able to take up our heavenly inheritance are the heavenly principalities and powers, the evil ones, that are set against us.